Maybe it would be difficult to describe a military training mission failure more definitively than to say that the program had to be curtailed because the intended students were killing the people tasked with training them. Well, whatever the value of the war in Afghanistan, as U.S. troops slowly withdraw,
our mission will change from combat to support. By 2014, this process of transition will be complete, and the Afghan people will be responsible for their own security.
President Obama's goal, stated back in June of 2011, of creating an Afghan security force to fight and defend Afghanistan alongside U.S. and NATO troops. But it's been something of a fiasco. U.S.-led coalition troops have been ordered to no longer work shoulder to shoulder with Afghan forces following a series of so-called insider killings. 51 NATO troops killed by Afghan security forces or Taliban infiltrators in the last 8 months. Joining us is Fatini Christia, assistant professor in political science at MIT. Also on the line is Lucy Morgan Edwards, former political advisor to the EU ambassador in Afghanistan, author of The Afghan Solution. Lucy and Fatini, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me on.
So, Fatini, am I overstating the sense of fiasco or failure here?
No, I think you're right. I mean, the decision to restrict NATO forces from working alongside Afghan national security forces is probably one of the biggest setbacks the coalition has faced to date in terms of our exit strategy.
And Lucy Morgan Edwards, is this an example of the troops disloyal to these American trainers, or that the Afghan security forces are unable to keep themselves from being infiltrated by Taliban insurgents?
I think it's both, really. I think what we have to realize is that we've been, in a sense, fed a narrative about how we're going to be exiting Afghanistan and that everything is dependent on us building up these Afghan national security forces. But actually underlying that, the real problem is the failure to come up with a political solution, a political settlement, not just including the Taliban or those Afghans, Pashtuns, particularly in the south. But the fact that so much of the way we designed the strategy from 2001 was very reliant on guys, warlord allies who in other circumstances might well have been indicted for their crimes against the Afghan population. So we have a very unpopular set of allies currently in government there in Afghanistan.
Fatini Christia, is this a case of where there are a lot of rogues who take matters into their own hands? Or is there just a fundamental suspicion and disconnect between Afghan security forces who are sick and tired of the U.S. and NATO troops being in Afghanistan on any level?
I mean, I think it's definitely an issue of rogues acting. The problem is that based on these rogue decisions, we are altering the strategy. It's clearly we've been working based on the assumption that the Afghan national security forces are going to be the main pillar in terms of our withdrawal efforts. And we spend a lot less time on governance, as Lucy suggested. So now basically we're faced with a Frankenstein institution that we've built, something really large that we cannot control and that we don't feel will be able to take over after we withdraw in 2014.
So we've basically armed a domestic Afghan militia that is committed to the killing of U.S. and NATO forces. Is that what you're saying, Fatini?
What I'm suggesting is that it's very alarming that we're basically afraid that the people we've armed are turning their guns against us. And the fact that we are suggesting that we're not going to be working with them basically means an earlier withdrawal, in a sense. I mean, the whole point of mentoring and joint patrol was why we were staying till 2014.
Tactically and strategically, Lucy Morgan Edwards, does this demand an acceleration of the withdrawal? I mean, is there any reason for maintaining the existing timetable of staying in Afghanistan until 2014 and then actually in a support role for some period after that?
I think that's not really the problem. I think that we are going to need to support after 2014. I think much of the problem that we're facing right now is what the Soviets faced, which is infiltration of the security forces. I would say that the major issue really relates to Pakistan, and not just in terms of the killing of the trainers by so-called rogue elements, but for example, the attack that took place near the airport yesterday, the frequent, which was actually claimed by Hizb-e-Islami, which is Hikmatyar, which is a warlord that the Pakistanis have supported since the 1980s, but also the Haqqani network, which has been behind several major attacks, including on the U.S. embassy in Kabul over the last couple of years. I think the U.S. really needs to get strict with Pakistan and to crack down. I think the first move being this idea of placing the Haqqanis on the list of terrorist organizations is a good move. I think that the U.S. needs to really seriously consider thinking about Hikmatyar and even the Pakistani government putting more pressure on them to close down the sanctuaries and not be pulling the strings from behind the scenes.
Hikmatyar, of course, another U.S.-financed warlord who's been very influential in Pakistan and Afghanistan. Fotini Christia, before we go, is there any sense of, based on this current situation, what the post-NATO Afghanistan is going to look like? Will all of this have amounted to anything that will result in a safer region in the long game?
I think unless we continue giving money and aid, we're going to see a similar situation like we saw after the Soviet withdrawal when the money stopped. We saw the overthrow of the government. So that's my fear.
So we're committed, Lucy Morgan Edwards, to some sort of connection. Otherwise, we just revisit exactly what happened after the Soviet withdrawal.
Yeah, I think we're committed to a connection there, but I think we have to be very careful where the money is going. I think, at the moment, there's a kind of almost a war of the narrative with various think tanks releasing different reports. There was one from London last week advocating that we do business, do deals with the Quetta Shura and various elements, and Mullah Omar. I myself am extremely dubious about that and would advocate much more that we take seriously the report by another think tank in the US, which is the New World Strategies Coalition, which is much more about understanding that, Pakistan has played a role in destroying the Pashtun culture, the tribal culture, and that we need to support that.
That's where we need to put our investment. Lucy Morgan Edwards, former political advisor to the EU ambassador in Afghanistan, author of The Afghan Solution. Also with us, Fotini Christia, assistant professor in political science at MIT, talking about the long game that the Taliban may be winning in Afghanistan. Thanks so much.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the Henry Luce Foundation for increased understanding of East and Southeast Asia. Funding for Detroit coverage of The Takeaway is supported in part by W.K. Kellogg Foundation, WKKF.org, and the Rockefeller Foundation, whose transportation initiative is promoting equitable and sustainable development in communities across the country. More at rockfound.org.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.